He was wearing an apron and looked vaguely familiar, and then she remembered how she knew him. Gary? He was a friend of Abby's husband and had gone to school with them. He recognized her immediately.
Hey, Kate, good to see you.
He opened the door wider and she stepped in.
Philippe will be down in a minute. He asked me to get the door. Come on in.
She followed him to the kitchen where he had sheets of pasta spread out all over the kitchen counters and island.
I didn't realize you worked for Philippe.
I'm just doing some personal chef work for him while he's on the island, depending on what's going on. He's hosting a dinner tonight for some Netflix execs that are in town for a few days.
Netflix? Wow.
Kate was impressed. Gary smiled as he reached for his rolling pin.
I know, right? I'm hoping to wow them with my fresh lobster ravioli and Alfredo sauce.
That sounds amazing. Are you still with the Straight Wharf? It was one of Kate's favorite restaurants and was closed for the winter.
Yeah, it's a good gig. 10 years now. And I do my personal chef stuff on the side. Summers are crazy.
He chuckled.
Some of these people have me on call just to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Whatever they're in the mood for.
Kate smiled. That was how the other half lived on Nantucket. So many families that summered on the island were extremely wealthy. It was common for wives and children to stay all week while their husbands worked in the city, running hedge funds or other insanely lucrative businesses, and flew to their Nantucket homes for the weekends. Too many owned breathtakingly gorgeous houses that sat empty, except for the week or two they decided to take their vacation. These were the people who would hire a personal chef for their stay, to cater to their every whim, even if it was as simple as a bowl of cereal or a sandwich.
It looks like he appreciates what you're able to do,
Kate commented. Gary grinned.
Yeah, he let me pick the menu.
Kate turned at the sound of footsteps coming down the hall. Philippe Gaston was walking toward her in faded jeans that fit his slim body perfectly. He was buttoning a crisp white shirt as he walked, and his dark brown hair was still damp and a bit too long and wavy. He smiled and apologized for keeping her waiting. His French accent was charming.
Oh, I didn't mind. Gary and I were catching up.
You know each other?
He sounded surprised at first, then laughed.
Of course you do. You're both natives, right? Would you like anything to drink? Coffee? Water?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Let's go into my office then.
He led the way through the kitchen to a sunny room that faced the ocean. The walls were lined with bookcases and were overflowing with books, many of them leather-bound. A large L-shaped wooden desk sat in the corner, and two comfortable-looking black leather chairs faced it. He sat in one and gestured for her to sit in the other.
So tell me all about yourself,
he said, once she was seated and had her notebook on her lap. She smiled.
What do you want to know? I'm here to talk about you.
Whatever you care to share. I like to get to know the people that I'll be working with.
All right. Well, I grew up here, went to Boston College, and got a job at Boston Style magazine after graduation. I've worked there ever since.
She paused and then admitted, well, until recently. I'm not on staff there anymore, just freelancing. He nodded.
I thought I read somewhere that the magazine was bought by a big corporation based out of New York.
She could see the sympathy in his eyes.
Yes, so I'm shifting into doing freelance work and hoping to stay on Nantucket at least through the winter. Maybe longer if I can find enough work. I do love it here, she added.
It's the most beautiful place I've ever been to,
Philippe said.
I knew, the first time I visited, over 10 years ago, that I wanted to buy a home here.
He stared out the window and looked lost in thought. They were both quiet for a moment. Kate decided it was time to get started with her first questions.
How did you first become involved with the film festival?
Oh,
And do you mind if I record our conversation? He shook his head.
No, of course I don't mind. I was invited to participate when my first book was made into a film. That was quite a year. I've been involved with creating film or TV projects ever since.
Kate remembered that book. Lucky Girl was an edge-of-the-seat psychological thriller that had won Oscars for Best Picture, Screenplay Adaptation, which Philippe had also written, and for Best Actress, which was how he'd met his now ex-wife, Laura Smith. "Do you have to travel a lot?" she asked. Philippe ran his hand through his wavy hair, and then he leaned forward. She tried not to notice how green his eyes were as he spoke.
"Yes and no. I'm often here for months at a time when I am writing something new. But then I might travel for several months, usually to LA, where most of the shows are filmed. That's a lot of fun, though."
His face lit up, and she asked him to explain what he meant.
"Well, writing a book is great. You're in charge, and it's totally your vision. Having that turned into a movie is fantastic, but you have to be okay with your story changing and letting other people mold it to their vision."
He paused before adding,
"The writer is less important in film, but television, well, that's where all the power is for a writer."
Kate leaned forward, intrigued. "How is it different?" She didn't have any idea how the writer's role varied between the two mediums.
"Well, with TV, when it's my story being produced and I'm the showrunner, I'm involved in just about everything except directing. For example, I happened to casually mention that I'd love to cast someone like Michael Seol, the actor that played Dexter."
He paused and Kate nodded. She'd loved the show Dexter, about the serial killer that only killed people that deserved to die.
"Well, they made it happen and cast him for the lead. They've pretty much given me anything I've asked for so far."
He grinned and his expression reminded Kate of a mischievous teenage boy.
"The money is also a lot better than writing books. I get a nice piece of the profits."
Kate glanced around the room and took in the luxurious leather and quality furnishings. Philippe was clearly doing very well for himself.
"That's interesting. I can see why you'd prefer it."
Kate was quiet for a moment and then found herself saying, "I was thinking that I might try to write a book too someday, maybe while I'm here this winter." She felt a bit silly admitting it, as she was such a beginner compared to him. But he seemed enthusiastic about the idea.
"Oh, you should. You obviously can write. What genre are you thinking of?"
"Mystery. I've always loved puzzle stories and investigations." He looked pleased with her answer.
"Well, if you write it, I'd be happy to read it for you and offer suggestions. I don't often do that. Only when I have a good feeling about someone, and I already know I like your writing."
"You've read some of my work?" Kate was both surprised and flattered.
"Yes. When I got your initial email, I searched online and read several of your features. I wouldn't have agreed to meet with you otherwise."
She nodded. It made sense that he would have checked her out ahead of time.
"Oh, well, thank you.
So tell me more about your involvement with the film festival." They chatted for another half hour as Philippe told her all about his early days and how he was involved currently, which was mostly as a host for some of the screenings, since in recent years he'd been doing more television than film work.
"It's more of a celebration of the medium than anything else, and a chance for some local folks to get noticed. It also brings people to the island, which is always good for the economy."
He smiled again, and she couldn't help thinking that he looked more like a movie star himself than a writer. He had deep dimples that appeared when he smiled, along with laugh lines that only made him more attractive. "It seems like more and more celebrities come for the festival every year," she commented. He nodded.
"It's amazing how many of the LA folks look forward to it. Nantucket is exotic to them, and they breath of fresh air.
She closed her notebook. They'd covered everything she wanted to ask. Well, I think I have everything I need. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Philippe thought for a moment.
I can't think of anything, though I do have a question or two.
He smiled slowly and held her gaze. Kate suddenly felt her pulse quicken and glanced around the room until her eyes fell on the large clock. It was definitely time to go. She took a breath.
Sure, what would you like to know?
How do you feel about lobster ravioli?
She didn't make the connection at first. I like it.
Good. I'm having a small gathering tonight. Why don't you join us? The director, the producer, and a few other execs from my show will be here. You might find it adds some interesting color for your story.
The invitation both intimidated and intrigued her equally. She knew that it was a huge opportunity.
I'd love to. Thank you.
Fantastic. I'll see you back here at 7 then.
My jet-setting daughter, Lisa teased Kate as they sat in the kitchen drinking coffee while Kate told her all about the meeting with Philippe Gaston.
I'm excited to go, of course, but a little terrified, too. What will I talk to these people about? And what will I wear?
Lisa chuckled.
They're just people. And you're a reporter. Just ask them questions.
Kate nodded.
You're right, of course.
But there's still the matter of what to wear. Lisa thought for a moment.
Do you have a simple black cocktail dress?
You can't go wrong with basic black. Kate relaxed a bit.
I do. I'll wear that.
Lisa took a sip of coffee and smiled. Her sensible older daughter was starstruck.
What's he like? Is he as handsome as he looks on his book cover?
No, he's actually better looking, if that's possible, and charismatic. And he has that accent.
Fortunately, I'm immune to that kind of charm.
Lisa raised her eyebrows and Kate laughed.
He's interesting to talk to, though, and seems really nice. A good person to get to know.
I asked around. Paige says his divorce was final a few months ago, and no one has seen him around town with anyone else, so he seems available.
Mom, I'm sure he wouldn't be interested. And I'm not looking anyway. It's way too soon after Dylan.
Her eyes looked pained, and Lisa knew her daughter was still hurting, even though she put on a brave face.
I'm just teasing you, honey. Go and have fun. At least you know the food will be good.
I've had Gary's lobster raviolis, and they're delicious.
Chapter 6. Kate returned to Philippe's house at 7:10. There was a valet out front, and she shivered as she stepped out of her car and handed the young man her keys. The wind had picked up, and the air was cold. She pulled her long coat more tightly around her as she walked toward the front door. This time when she knocked, the door was opened by Philippe himself, who welcomed her warmly.
Thank you for coming. Come on in. You can hang your coat here.
He indicated a closet to the left as they stepped inside. She slid her coat off and felt grateful that her black dress had long sleeves. It was warm, and the cut was elegant with a simple boat neck. At her waist, it fell into a fuller skirt in a shimmery fabric that fell just below her knees. It was a pretty dress, and one that she felt comfortable in.
You look lovely,
Philippe said as he hung her coat in the closet, and then led her into the main room where about a dozen people, mostly men and one older woman, were chatting and drinking cocktails while a young waitress circled the room, passing out appetizers. Kate was surprised to see a few familiar faces, too. Richard Goodwin, who ran the local theater, was there, and also Jack Trattell, which was interesting.
What are you drinking?
Philippe asked as the server came toward them.
I'd love a glass of wine. Chardonnay, if you have it.
Chardonnay it is.
The server nodded and scurried off, returning a moment later with the wine and a tray of mini crab cakes. Philippe popped one in his mouth and encouraged her to do the same. She did, and it was delicious.
I'll introduce you to everyone,
he said as he led her over to a group of men. Kate took a sip of her wine and followed. She tried to keep up as all the names went in one ear and out the other. Many of them she'd heard before or read about in the papers. The last two people were Richard and Jack, who were laughing as they walked toward them.
I am assuming you probably already know these characters,
Philippe said lightly. I do.
I'll let you catch up then. Looks like I'm being summoned to the kitchen. We'll be sitting down to eat soon. We'll talk more then.
He walked off as Kate turned to Richard and Jack.
I don't see you for years, and then suddenly twice in 2 weeks,
Jack said with a smile. I know, right? How do you know Philippe?
From playing poker.
Poker? He nodded.
A few of us play now and then, mostly during the winter when it's quiet here. Philippe happened to stop by the seafood market right before closing one night, and we were down a guy, so I asked him to join us. We've been friends ever since. He'd just bought a place here and didn't know many people yet.
So you were being neighborly. That was nice of you. Jack smiled.
Like I said, we were short a man. He's a decent guy, though.
Kate turned to Richard. It's nice to see you here, too. How's Marianne? Richard's wife, Marianne, was a friend of her mother.
She's fantastic. She was sorry she couldn't make it tonight. She's off island visiting her sister for a few days.
Kate wondered where Jack's girlfriend, Sissy, was. How's Sissy? She asked. Something she couldn't quite place flashed across his face.
I assume she's fine. We're not together anymore.
Oh, I didn't realize. I'm sorry. Kate felt like she'd created an awkward moment, but Jack didn't seem to mind.
Don't be sorry. It's all good. It was a long time coming.
I just recently ended a relationship, too, she admitted. I'm looking forward to a relaxing winter and taking a break from everything. His eyes met hers, and she saw a silent understanding in them. She relaxed and was glad that both Richard and Jack were there. She'd never been one for making small talk with strangers. They chatted easily, and a short while later, the server came by to invite them to head into the dining room. Philippe's table was a giant round one with 12 place settings. It was elegantly decorated with name cards by each oversized shimmery gold plate. Kate found her seat and was pleased to see that Jack was on her left and was surprised to see that Philippe was on her right. Everyone took their seats, and the next hour and a half was a delightful whirlwind of fascinating conversation and one decadent course after another. The lobster ravioli were as amazing as her mother had said, and the sliced tenderloin with a red wine sauce melted in her mouth. Philippe was a gracious host and kept the conversation lively and fun. He also made an effort to include Kate, asking her opinion on several subjects that came up as they debated what kind of storylines would resonate most with women. She assured them that killing off the beloved hero was not a good idea. More than anything, women want a happy ending, she said.
But we have such a cool death scene that could happen next season.
One of the execs said,
the special effects could be epic.
But Philippe shook his head.
I think Kate's right. We don't want to alienate half our audience. We might not get them back.
Over coffee and dessert, Kate learned the reason why all the execs were in town. Philippe quietly told her that they were negotiating a long-term deal for him to create more shows over the next few years. And they were on hiatus now for a few months. The execs wanted to get a deal done before Philippe could say yes to a different project. That's exciting, she said.
It is. It means I'll have a lot of free time over the next few months. I'll be working on a new book, of course, but there are still nights and weekends. Maybe we can go out sometime. Grab dinner or see a movie?
Kate was taken aback, both by the invitation and the uncertainty she saw in his eyes, as if he was worried she might say no. She couldn't refuse him, though she wasn't looking to date anyone, especially Philippe Gaston. But she hoped they could be friends.
That sounds fun. I'd love to.
Good. I'll give you a call later this week to set something up.
Kate took a sip of her coffee and realized that Jack had heard their interchange. She turned to ask him a question, and he beat her to it.
How's your mom? Are you staying with her while you're here?
He asked. She's great. I'll be staying with her for a while, but she's turning the house into a bed and breakfast, so I'll probably be moving out soon. Her friend Paige is heading to Florida for a few months, so I'm going to watch her house for her while she's gone.
Paige Burton?
He asked. She nodded. Yeah, she lives a mile or so away from our house on Sycamore Lane. He grinned.
Well, it looks like we'll be neighbors then. I live a few doors down from her place.
You do?
I bought the house 3 years ago and spent a year renovating before I moved in. Mine's the blue-gray one, same side as Paige.
So you're on the water, too. I think I know which house you mean. It was a smaller house for the area, but plenty big enough for most people and had a huge wraparound deck.
Yeah, the house was a mess when I bought it, really run down. But the land and views are amazing. I built the biggest deck I could get away with, and that's where I spend most of my time when the weather is good. There are stairs to the beach, too. It's not good for swimming, as it's kind of rocky, but it's great for fishing.
Funny that we're going to be neighbors, Kate said.
Yeah.
He glanced at Philippe, who was engrossed in an animated conversation.
I'd say you're settling in pretty well. He's newly single, too, by the way.
Kate felt herself flush a little. I meant it when I said I wanted to take a break. I'm not looking to get into a relationship with anyone right now.
Same here. Just taking things one day at a time. You never know what each day will bring.
You're sounding philosophical,
Philippe said. He'd caught Jack's last comment.
Must be the time of year, with New Year's Eve around the corner and all,
Jack said lightly.
Right, that's not even a week away.
Kate didn't want to think about New Year's Eve, especially as there was no one in her life to kiss when midnight rang in the new year. She decided to change the subject. Do you ever go to the Board of Selectmen meetings? She asked Jack and then looked at Philippe and added, either of you?
I've never been to one. I avoid that kind of thing,
Philippe said.
I go once in a while. It depends what's on the agenda. Why do you ask?
Jack said. The next meeting is a week from today, and my mother is seeking approval to officially open her bed and breakfast and put a sign up.
Jack frowned. What will she do if they say no?
She'll still open, but won't put her sign up. She can rent rooms through Airbnb. But if they approve, she can also put up a website and advertise more heavily both on and off island.
There's really nothing in all of Beach Plum Cove area for hotels or restaurants. Seems like an unmet need,
Jack said. I know. They are looking to approve a new restaurant, too. Someone is taking over the old one and reopening.
No kidding. That place has been closed for years. It would be great to have it open again, and good for your mother's business, too. People could walk there.
It would be perfect, but I'm a little nervous. You know how Nantucket can be sometimes.
Yeah, they keep saying no to McDonald's and a few other businesses that people want. They are resistant to change.
I do get it. They don't want to lose the charm that makes Nantucket unique. But I don't see how a bed and breakfast would jeopardize that.
You probably have nothing to worry about then,
Jack said. I hope not. But Kate was worried. She knew her mother needed this.
I'm not busy Monday night.
Maybe I'll stop by the meeting and lend my support,
Jack said. That was more than Kate expected.
Thank you, Jack. That means a lot.
Kristen sighed and stretched happily in her king-sized bed. The sun streaming in through the windows had woken her, and she knew the light would be fantastic to finish the painting she was working on. She eased herself out of bed so that she wouldn't wake Sean. He was dead to the world, though, so she needn't have worried. They'd had a late night, and Kristen was feeling hopeful again that she wasn't making a mistake by staying with him. They'd gone to one of their favorite restaurants, Basil's, a tiny place, where Sean knew the owner well, and he sent over a round of drinks and a new appetizer he was testing for the menu. After a leisurely dinner, they'd gone to hear some live music, and then made their way back to her cottage, where they fell into bed and it felt like the days when they'd first met. When Sean's focus was on her totally, and he was romantic and loving, she'd wanted to ask him if anything had changed, if he'd finally filed for divorce. But she didn't want to break the mood. She made a pot of coffee and dove into her painting, losing all track of time once she began. Several hours later, she took a break and stood up to stretch. She'd been in the same position for so long that her muscles were protesting, and she'd never even touched her cup of coffee. It was stone cold, so she dumped it out and made a new batch. She took her first sip as Sean made his way into the kitchen, still half asleep. "Want a cup? I just made it." He nodded and she poured him a cup and added a slug of heavy cream and extra sugar before handing it to him.
"Thank you. I need this."
He leaned against the counter and took a slow sip.
"A little headache?" she teased him.
She'd been fine because she rarely had more than two glasses of wine before switching to water or coffee. But Sean was an enthusiastic drinker, and sometimes his Jack and Cokes went down so quickly that a hangover was inevitable.
"I keep meaning to have water like you do,"
she laughed. "Well, that helps, but drinking less is even more effective."
"Right.
Are you hungry? I was about to make some eggs and toast."
He looked green at the mention of eggs.
"No, coffee is all I can handle."
"Think you'll be revived by tonight? We don't have to go out. We can get some takeout and stay in."
He looked at her in confusion.
"Do we have plans tonight?"
"Well, I just assumed. It's New Year's Eve, Sean."
"I'm sorry. I have Julian tonight, and I told his mother I'd stay for dinner."
Kristen said nothing for a long moment. Inside, she was seething. She tried to keep her voice calm and measured, though she felt like screaming at him.
"And you don't think that's a little odd, Sean? She invites you to stay for dinner on New Year's Eve?"
He looked uncomfortable.
"I didn't even realize what the date was. We'd never talked about New Year's Eve, so it wasn't on my mind."
"No, it doesn't seem like it was."
Kristen slammed her coffee cup on the counter and splashed more coffee into it. She was suddenly exhausted on top of being furious as it finally sunk in that nothing was going to change with Sean. For whatever reason, he wasn't ready to completely let go of his marriage. And she felt like a fool. The only reason she'd agreed to date him in the first place was because he was separated and had told her he was getting a divorce ASAP.
"So what, you're mad now?"
Sean sounded frustrated.
"I've told you before I have to be careful about how I do this. I don't want to piss off Julian's mother. She could take me back to court and try to change our arrangement."
But she thought he was being dramatic and ridiculous.
"Why don't you just move back in with her? It would make things so much easier and save you a whole lot of money." "I can't keep doing this, Sean. I'm done."
Her voice broke a little, betraying her emotions. She was close to tears. He put his almost empty coffee mug in the sink and tried to wrap his arms around her, but she slithered out of his grasp, folded her arms across her chest, and glared at him. She was afraid if he touched her, she'd cave or burst into tears.
Sean ran a hand through his hair in frustration as he paced around the room before stopping in front of her.
What are you talking about? I thought we had a great time last night. I know I did.
I had a wonderful time, which is why I'm so upset right now.
You were the one that said you didn't want to get serious,
he reminded her. I said I wanted to keep things light at first. I meant while you were married, but you told me you were getting divorced.
I am. It's just complicated. There's too much at stake to rush.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want you to rush.
Her voice dripped with sarcasm. He chose to ignore it and tried what had always worked in the past with her.
I'm crazy about you, Kristen. I hate when we argue. I'll make this up to you, I promise. Let's go out tomorrow night instead. It's going to be packed everywhere tonight anyway. Tomorrow we'll have the place to ourselves. It will be more romantic. What do you say?
His eyes met hers, and the smile that used to make her melt didn't have the same effect anymore. But she was done fighting with him. She just wanted him to go.
I don't know. I need to get back to work.
He took that as a win and grinned.
I'll call you tomorrow.
As soon as he left and the house was empty, Kristen let the tears come. She didn't cry for long, though. She was more angry than sad, and she was done crying over him. Chapter 7. No one was in the mood to celebrate on New Year's Eve. Lisa and Brian had usually just gone out for a quiet dinner or to an occasional house party. But since he'd passed, she hadn't done much of anything. It was just another night to her. But this year, she sensed that the girls weren't in the mood to do much either, and her natural inclination was to try to lift their spirits. She'd invited them over and planned to put in an early order for takeout at their favorite Chinese restaurant. She figured they could stay in and watch movies, and maybe, if they were still awake, they could watch the ball drop. She thought it would be her, Abby, and Kate, but when Kristen called to let them know Sean canceled their plans at the last minute, Lisa insisted that she join them as well. She was also a bit nervous as the clock approached 3 in the afternoon. Her first guest, Rhett Byrne, was due to arrive any moment. He was going to be staying in ACK, the largest room, and she fussed around in the morning making sure it was perfect for him. She put extra blue-gray towels in the bathroom, set several bottles of water on the nightstand, and a box of chocolate-covered cranberries for a snack. They were made at the local chocolate shop and were a great taste of the island, fresh cranberries wrapped in silky dark chocolate. She left a local newspaper on the table by the window and gave the bedspread a final smoothing. She also left a note welcoming him and leaving the number to her cell phone in case he needed anything at any time. She was curious about why he wanted to stay for a whole month. It was an odd time to take such a long vacation. Kate had told her to Google him to find out more about him, and she'd meant to do that but hadn't gotten around to it until this morning. It had felt a bit intrusive, but finally her curiosity had gotten the best of her. From what she saw in the quick search she did, he owned several restaurants, one in New York City and 2 in Boston, as well as one in Palm Beach. Maybe he was visiting friends that owned a restaurant here, or maybe he just wanted to get away. Nantucket in the winter was great if you didn't want anyone to bother you. People used to always ask Lisa how she could stand being on the island in the winter when it was so quiet and all the tourists were gone. The implication was that it must be horribly boring. But Lisa found it anything but. She loved the off-season on Nantucket, and she knew many of her friends felt the same way. As much as they appreciated the tourists that helped the island economy, it was also a bit of a relief when the crowds died down and they had the island back to themselves again. Lisa never minded the cold or the long winters. It just made her appreciate the summers even more. And in the winter, people weren't as busy, so she saw some of her friends more often and caught up on her reading, too. At 3 o'clock sharp, she heard a car pull into the driveway. There was plenty of parking, and she had emailed instructions for Rhett to park in the open paved area to the right of the garage. There was room for 3 cars there. A few minutes later, she heard a knock on the door and went to let him in. She opened the door and took a step back to look up at the very tall, big man standing there. He was several inches over 6 feet and had lots of thick, sandy hair with streaks of gray. He smiled when he saw her, and it was an easy, friendly smile that lit up his tanned, weathered face. She guessed his age to be a little older than hers, maybe closer to 60.
You must be Rhett Byrne.
That's me.
Come on inside and I'll get your key.
She led him into her living room and went to a roll-top wooden desk that was along the wall. She kept all of her business things there, stamps, bills, extra keys. She found the keys to ACK and turned to him.
I'll show you to your room. Did you have a long trip to get here?
She wondered if he was coming from Boston or New York.
Not too bad. I didn't hit too much traffic coming from Boston, but the ride over was longer because I brought my car.
The fast ferry was only an hour, but the bigger boat that carried vehicles, the one they'd nicknamed the slow boat, took over 2 hours. Rhett followed her up the stairs, and she opened the door to his room and handed him the keys. He stepped inside and looked around while she found herself holding her breath, hoping he'd like it. He stepped toward a window and took in the view of the beach, and then he smiled.
This is better than I expected. Thank you.
If you need anything, give me a call. Breakfast is from 8 until 10. Just head to the dining room whenever you're ready. You can help yourself to coffee, and there will be cold cereals, fruit, and pastries, and I'll bring in something hot as well.
I'll do that, thanks.
Are you here on vacation?
She knew she was being nosy, but she was curious and thought she should make a little conversation. It seemed rude to just show him to his room and walk away after barely talking to the man. He laughed.
I wish, but I'm going to try to make it a working vacation. I have friends here on the island. They insisted I come in today to go to their New Year's Eve party. It's the last thing I feel like doing, but it's probably smart of me to go.
Oh, why is that?
It's a good chance for me to meet more people on the island, and to up my chances of having the Board of Selectmen approve my new restaurant. They say it's a formality, really, as the sale of the building is contingent on my getting that license, and I know they want the sale to go through.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I'll be at the meeting, too. I'm seeking approval to make this an official bed and breakfast.
I wouldn't think they'd give you a problem about that, but you never know.
He glanced around the room, and Lisa sensed he wanted to settle in.
I'll leave you to it. Don't hesitate to call if you need anything.
Thank you.
So what's he like?
Kate asked as Lisa helped herself to an egg roll. The girls had all arrived within minutes of each other, and they were sitting around the kitchen island eating Chinese food off paper plates. Kristen had opened a bottle of champagne and also brought some sparkling apple juice for Abby so she wouldn't feel left out.
He seems very nice. He's a big man, a bit older than me.
Is he handsome? Kristen asked.
He is, actually.
Married? Abby asked.
I don't know.
Mom, how can you not know? Was he wearing a wedding ring? Kate sounded exasperated. Lisa laughed.
I don't know. I didn't think to look.
It was true. She didn't make a habit of noticing if men were wearing wedding rings.
You really should start paying attention to these things.
Kristen smiled as she reached for more chicken lo mein.
Have you considered dating?
Lisa almost dropped the chicken finger she'd just picked up.
Dating? No. It hasn't crossed my mind. It hasn't been that long since I lost your father.
The girls exchanged glances, and then Kate spoke.
Mom, it's been over 3 years, and you're still young. I'm not saying go on Match.com, but maybe just be more aware and open. Lisa felt uncomfortable having this conversation with her daughters. She knew they meant well, but she wasn't in any hurry to date anyone. I'm not making any promises, but I will start paying more attention. How's that? That's perfect, Abby said, and the others nodded in agreement. Lisa decided to change the subject. How are things going with you and Jeff? He wanted to take me out tonight, but I told him I wasn't up to it. New Year's Eve is such a party night, and it just didn't feel right. I can't drink. Not that it matters that much, but I've also been so tired that I'll probably be yawning and ready for bed by 9. Why don't you meet for dinner another night soon? Lisa suggested. I think we're going to do that. He said that he wants to cook dinner for me. He does? I didn't know Jeff knew how to cook. Kristen laughed. As far as I know, he doesn't, so it should be interesting.
At least it sounds like he's making an effort, Lisa said.
Abby nodded. I know. I'm hoping it's a step in the right direction. And Kate has a date coming up soon with a celebrity, that famous writer with the good hair, Kristen said teasingly. Lisa and Abby both looked at Kate. It was the first that Lisa had heard about a date. Kate immediately made light of it. It's not really a date. When I interviewed him, he invited me back that evening for a dinner with some people he works with at Netflix, and he mentioned going out sometime. But it might have been all talk. I haven't heard anything further from him. He reminds me a bit of Dylan, Kristen said slowly. He has that same kind of charisma about him. You almost can't help but stare when he comes into the room. I see him out now and then at some of the local artist events. And now that I think about it, he's always with a date. I don't think I've ever seen him with the same woman more than once or twice. And that's why I really don't have any serious interest in dating him. If he does call me, I'll go out with him, but I don't want anything romantic. I do think he'd be an interesting person to get to know better, though. Kate took a sip of champagne before adding, Jack Tretel was at the party, too. From Tretel's Seafood? Kristen sounded surprised. He said they're poker buddies. Jack lives on the same street as Paige. She mentioned that he moved in a year or so ago. He did a great job renovating his house. It's cute as could be. Lisa had noticed the transformation each time she went to visit Paige. He told me about that. Said we're going to be neighbors. It will be nice to know someone else nearby, as most of the people on her street are away in the winter. And you'll be just a mile away from here, too, Lisa reminded her. After they finished eating and put everything away, they collapsed in the living room and watched When Harry Met Sally, which they'd all seen multiple times, but everyone loved it. As Abby had predicted, she started yawning just before 9 and decided to head home. Are you sure you don't want to stay over? There's plenty of room if you don't feel like driving. But Abby stood and pulled on her coat. I'll be home in about 10 minutes, and I'm exhausted and ready to fall into my own bed. I'll talk to you tomorrow, and I'll see all of you Monday night at the meeting. After she left, Kristen stood up. Well, I will stay over, and I'm going to have a little more champagne. Anyone else ready for some? She refilled her glass and added more to Kate's and Lisa's as well. And then she raised her glass and made a toast. To a wonderful new year and new beginnings for all of us. I'll drink to that. Kate laughed and took a sip of champagne. Lisa did the same and wondered what new beginning Kristen was referring to for herself. Has anything changed with Sean? She asked. Nope, nothing has changed at all, which is why everything is going to change. He doesn't realize it yet, but we're done. I'm telling him tomorrow. Lisa got up early the next day. She decided to make a quiche Lorraine as her first hot meal. She figured that Kate and Kristen would have some too, so it wouldn't go to waste, and it was one of her favorite dishes.
She rolled a pie crust into a dish and poured in the creamy custard filling, cheese, sautéed onion, and crispy bacon. An hour in the oven, and it would be ready. She'd already stocked the dining room with coffee, tea, and a Keurig machine, so guests could make a single cup at a time. At about 7:45, she slid the quiche out of the oven and set it on an iron rack to cool. The crust was browned perfectly, and the smell was heavenly. Her stomach rumbled a bit, and she made herself a piece of toast to take the edge off. She wondered if Rhett was an early bird or if he'd sleep in and make his way down closer to 10, if at all. For all she knew, he might decide to skip breakfast entirely. But at 8:15, she heard steps outside the door and went to check the dining room. Rhett had found the coffee selection and was brewing a cup. "Good morning," she said brightly. "I'll be right in with the quiche. Or if you don't like that, there's fresh fruit in that small refrigerator and bagels and cereal on the counter."
"Quiche sounds great. I'll probably have a bagel too."
"Cream cheese is in the refrigerator if you need it." Lisa went and got the quiche and carefully carried it into the dining room and set it on a hot plate she'd plugged in earlier. She'd cut the quiche into slices and told him to help himself.
"Did you eat yet?"
he asked as he slid a piece of quiche onto his plate. His question took her by surprise. "No, not yet."
"Would you like to join me? I'd love the company."
Her stomach rumbled again, and she laughed. "Sure, I'd like that." She made herself a second cup of coffee and joined him at the table along with her own plate of quiche.
"This is excellent,"
he told her after he took his first bite, and she was pleased to hear it. "Did you have fun at your party?" He must have stayed out late, as she never heard the front door open. She and the girls had gone to bed soon after the ball dropped.
"I did. It was a good time. And a late night. I hadn't seen most of these people in years, and there was a lot to talk about. Most of them are excited about the restaurant."
Something about the way he said it got her attention. "Most of them? You mean some aren't excited?"
"Well, a few people seem to feel that there are already enough restaurants on the island. Adding another cuts into their profits, or so they say."
"Oh, it was the other restaurant owners that have an issue with you opening? Will that be a problem, do you think?" She wondered if those people would be at the meeting Monday night.
"It had better not be. If they ran a better business, they wouldn't have anything to worry about."
He spoke confidently, and she sensed that he knew his business well. She supposed he must if he had several successful restaurants. "Hopefully, if they do speak up, it won't matter much. This area does need a restaurant."
"I agree."
He grinned.
"And a bed and breakfast. Do you have a name picked out?"
"The Beach Plum Cove Inn." He nodded.
"I like it. Simple and descriptive."
"Thank you. What happens if you do get approved? Will you need to do much to the restaurant to get it ready to open?"
"I'll start pulling permits right away and hire workers to get the renovation done. I've already got the plans all drawn up. It's not too extensive, really. Just an update on what's there and a slight reconfiguration to better use the space. I'm going to add more outside seating, too, and enlarge the deck."
Lisa could picture the outside of the restaurant. It wasn't on the water, but sat on a bluff and had an ocean view. It would be lovely to sit outside on the deck and look at the water while having dinner. "Now I understand why you're planning to stay a whole month." He laughed.
"About that. I'd actually like to extend my stay for at least 2 more months if all goes well at the meeting Monday night. I didn't want to book that far out until I knew for sure."
"Oh, of course it's all right."
"Fantastic. And if all your breakfasts are this good, I'm going to have to start taking long walks on that beach. Actually, I probably should do that anyway."
Lisa laughed. "I won't make rich dishes every day, mostly just on the weekends, but definitely explore the beach. It's great for walking."
She noticed that his plate and cup were empty, and she quickly took her last bite and stood up. She didn't want to keep him from his day. There's plenty of quiche if you'd like more.
I would, but I should pass. I'm going to go take that walk now, actually. Thanks for joining me for breakfast.
He stood, and she watched him go as she cleared the dishes. She'd enjoyed sharing breakfast with him and was excited that he might extend his stay. The steady money would be welcome, and if all of her guests were this pleasant, she was going to enjoy running a bed and breakfast. Chapter 8. Lisa changed clothes several times Monday night, trying to decide on the most appropriate outfit for the Board of Selectmen's hearing. She finally settled on charcoal gray dress pants, a crisp white shirt, and a navy wool button-down sweater. Matching pearl earrings and a necklace completed the look. Kate rode with her to town hall where the evening meeting was going to be held.
"Don't be nervous," Kate said as they walked toward the entrance. But Lisa couldn't help feeling jittery as they entered the room and looked around to find seats.
It was early, but the room was filling up fast. Rhett was already there in the front row and waved them over. There were two empty seats next to him, and Kate started walking toward him. Lisa wasn't sure she wanted to sit in the front row, but she was glad for Rhett's support. They sat, and she introduced Kate to him.
"This is my first time attending one of these meetings," Kate said.
"First for me, too," Rhett said, and then added, "The crowd is bigger than I expected. It might make for an interesting evening."
His comment didn't help Lisa's nervousness any. Did a large turnout mean people would be more likely to object? In the next 15 minutes, the room filled completely until there was standing room only. Lisa was relieved and grateful to see that all of her children were there, though seated in the back of the room. And both Paige and Sue were back there too. She recognized quite a few familiar faces, people she knew or knew of. At 7 o'clock sharp, the selectmen took their places at the front of the room, and the chairman called the meeting to order. They talked for nearly an hour, going over old business and pending issues, before they finally got to the two requests for approval. First up was Rhett's restaurant. Tom Goodwin, who was also an attorney, gave a summary of the request, the history of the restaurant, and Rhett's plans to improve the building and transfer the liquor license. When he concluded, he asked the crowd,
"Does anyone have an objection to voice about this request?"
When several people raised their hands and then stood to speak, Lisa worried for Rhett's chances, wondering how much weight the objections would carry. One was from Ben Hardy, who ran the nearest restaurant, which was in the next village over, more than 5 miles away. She could understand his concern, as a lot of his business likely came from Beach Plum Cove. Yet, as a resident, she welcomed a new restaurant closer to home. The other person objecting was Gladys Monroe, who owned a summer home a few doors down from the restaurant. She was worried about noise and the impact on traffic. The selectman allowed Rhett to respond, and he did so eloquently.
"Mr. Hardy, I can appreciate your concerns, but there already was a restaurant at this location, so the precedent is there. And I've talked to many local residents who welcome a place to go closer to home."
He then addressed Gladys Monroe.
"This will be a family restaurant, not a nightclub. We won't have entertainment, so there shouldn't be any noise issues, as we'll also close by 10 at the latest. Regarding traffic, I'll speak again to precedent. My research shows that there was never a negative impact on traffic when the